You're now listening to the Sports Roundtable. Overlooking Atlantic Station, we just regular guys. Keep the dream alive because it can happen.
Just remember, come Saturday, you watching Lil Wayne on college football field.
You know what God said, right? Just started, I finished.
Quarterback position is the only position on their team where there's not a playmaker. All he did was raise his hands up last year after he scored and gave the money sign. It makes no sense.
You're now listening to the Sports Roundtable. What up, what up, what up? It's the Sports Roundtable live from the penthouse, 300th floor. Overlooking Atlantic Station, and it's the crew, SRT episode 24. Thanks for tuning in. Episode 24 is a milestone. We're four away from being where we want to be. In the penthouse tonight, got the whole crew with me tonight, baby. Signing day, proud of my boys. Mr. D. Will Bama in the crib in the penthouse tonight.
Yes, sir. What's happening?
Then you, of course, you know I got my sports superhero, Mr. Hancock.
What's up, big ho? Back in the penthouse, baby. Ready to do this show. Let's get it.
Yes, sir. And we got the jewel of sports, Miss Tiffany, in the house.
What up, big ho? I'm still Team Peyton Manning all day.
Yes, sir. They said she wasn't coming to work tonight. She fooled them. And we got Super Bowl champ, Mr. Slick Money.
What's happening? So good to be here. Let me get it for the girls, get it? Well, I'm going to get it for the boys, get it now, because Tiff got to pay up. Now, Tiff was going to, I'm going to steal the show for 1 second. It ain't going to take long.
Go ahead.
Go. Tiff was going to run down Peachtree naked.
It was a bra and a thong, I believe, it switched to. Bra and thong.
Okay. Not naked.
It could be bra thong and some Jordans.
Some folks would consider that naked, though.
True.
Okay. Have you decided what we're going to, how we're going to square this off? Because I don't want to get too far in the show and it get all, you know.
It's not going to be settled today.
No. Well, you can run across around here in the SRT show, in the penthouse.
Okay, but it won't be settled today. Well, we can change it to here, but I won't be settling that bet today.
Well, I want to let the Lord listeners know so they can come and watch.
Yeah, and I'm still licking my wounds clean. So until those heal up, I can't run naked. So we got to hold off on that.
Okay, okay, guys, hold tight. I get you a date and time, okay?
Well, y'all off the chain, man. Thanks for tuning in, episode 24. Thanks for liking our Facebook page, as well as we put up a promo, and many of you guys liked it, and we enjoyed it as well. So on today's show, obviously, we're going to talk about news and notes, and we're going to let Slick Money rant about his Super Bowl pick all the way from the, was it the first week of football season? Something like that. And we have a roundtable discussion where we're going to talk about the best defenses ever to win a Super Bowl, Peyton Manning legacy, word on the street from the jewel of sports, and we're going to go inside of the mind of Slick Money. And we got email bag as well. But the first off, I want to tell you guys about a joke that someone told me. Because I don't want to take credit for this joke. It was funny, but I'm not going to take credit for this one. Guy came in today, one of my project managers. And he said, let me tell you a joke. I know you always like to tell jokes and things of that nature. So let me tell you one. I said, okay, cool. Let me get my Starbucks refresher. You know, finished it out for him. And I said, all right, go ahead. So he said this girl and this chick and this guy was dating each other, and they was getting to know each other. So the chick asked the guy, you know, as women like to do, they like to know, you know, what's going on with the guys. Do you smoke weed? Do you smoke at all? He said, no, I don't smoke cigarettes, but I do smoke weed. She said, well, how much weed do you smoke? About 3 bags a day.
What?
Okay. Oh,
along with the weed, he got the munchies. So you know, she said, well, isn't that like $10 a bag? You like $30 a day? Hey, that's about 10 stacks a year. You know, how long you been smoking? About 15 years. She said, that's about $160,000. You know, you could have a Ferrari. Guy said, well, let me ask you a question. Do you smoke weed? She said, of course not. He said, well, where the hell is your Ferrari?
Right. I was going to say that. Is she driving one?
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Hey, where they get these $10 bags of weed, bro? All right, send him this way.
They get them from Buttermilk.
Buddy them do it all.
Yeah. Exactly.
They got everything. One stop shop.
Oh, my goodness. Well, y'all already starting the show off. Off the chain, man. But, yeah, I thought that was pretty funny. So, oh, man. That Slick, that was funny, right?
That was pretty good, Hogsworth. Like yeah, that'll get you on HBO. That's pretty good.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to get into some news and notes real quick, just in case you missed it. Wanted to make sure that you do know Seattle Seahawks did win the Super Bowl 48. We're going to talk about that later on in the show, our opinions about that. And today was signing day for all of the young college, approaching college young men, high school seniors, I guess I should say. Mm-hmm. Three of my players that I coached, one signed with Clemson. Congratulations, DeMar Kitts, wide receiver at Sandy Creek. I had another kid to sign at Presbyterian College, Deontay Davis, good kid, linebacker. And Nick signed with someone. He decommitted from Georgia. So I've yet to figure out where he's going. And my nephew, Jollis Myrick, he will be signing in the spring, choosing between Troy, Marshall, and I want to say West Georgia.
Very cool.
Yeah, so congratulations to those guys.
That's what's up. Yeah. Congrats.
D. Will, what you got on the signing day stuff, bud? I know you bam all the way, and I'm pretty sure that you got some news to tell us about what the SEC did, and some very obvious news, disappointing for the Auburn fans, I'm sure.
Yeah, you can say that, but the SEC had a great day. Out of all the kids that signed today, SEC racked up the most by far. And just so I can talk about my Bama boys a little bit, we happened to rack up 4 of the top 12 recruits in the nation. 4 of the top 12. So a quarter of the top 12 players in the nation will be in Tuscaloosa next year. And, okay, let me just break this down for y'all. Break down Bama's class real quick. Everybody this year said we struggled in a couple areas, and that's protecting A.J. McCarron, rushing the passer, and the secondary. We picked up the number one and number two cornerback in the nation. We picked up the number two and the number three defensive end in the nation, and we picked up 6 top with 2 5-star offensive tackles.
Nice.
Okay. That's a heck of a day of recruiting.
It really is. Don't they grade those recruits that they do? Do they give them grades for those?
Yeah, and actually, the grade that they gave us this year is the highest grade in history. Not saying it's a lot, but the last school to have it was Florida in 2010.
All right. Oh, yeah, that's Urban Meyer. That's Tim Tebow class.
But if you look at it, what have they done since 2010?
Nada.
Had 2 coaches.
Yeah.
Exactly. Hey, D, but that doesn't equate to a national championship.
Oh, no, not at all.
So I'm excited that that great news you just gave.
Not at all.
You will come in and just throw some salt.
Well, it's a playoff. It's a playoff system now.
Shade.
It's a playoff system now, and every team got an opportunity.
He just said they had the top. He just named that they had the top one. So I'm saying they're gonna get somewhere with that. At least they should.
Well, Denver had the top two, didn't it?
You want to start right now?
I'm just saying. So just because you're good don't mean you're gonna win. That's all I'm saying.
If you want to,
I ain't trying to start. I'm just telling you that just because you had the best. Don't mean the best always win.
That's very true.
And I want Derek I'm gonna tell Derek now. Well, I want Derek to understand this. So when the season rolls around next year, we're gonna have the same conversation.
You don't want him to get his hopes up too high.
Absolutely. To the way you was crushed, he gonna get crushed the same way.
Well, we gonna get into that. Okay.
Ooh. Yeah, please do.
We gonna get into that.
We can skip right to it, baby.
What you wanna do?
Shit, the kids sleep.
Hey, on other news, Georgia did complete their class by signing Lorenzo, is it Carter?
Yes.
Yeah, so I think he's out of Norcross, so congrats to him. We do have some.
Yeah, number 3DN.
Yeah, Norcross family over there, Miss Brenda Huffman, and I got a kid over there, Devin. So congrats to Georgia. How did Georgia finish up in the top 10?
Georgia came out number 8. So that's not bad.
Yeah,
that's
not bad.
So Hancock, how do you see Georgia doing? They come in 8. They got a new defensive coordinator that is from Florida State. What's this regime? Because every year, every time we, you know, this comes around, it's supposed to be their year.
Right. And what we always see is Georgia always has talent. Right. They always translate to the next level. You go through the NFL, you'll find Bulldogs almost on every roster.
Right, right.
So it hadn't been a point of them not getting talent. It's about what they do with it when they get it.
I agree.
But this recruiting thing, man, you know, for years, Florida State until this year always was up there. We got this big, we got blue chippers, we got this, but it never materialized.
Never, as Slick said, never equated.
Right. Not until
to winning a championship.
Especially that. You know, we were for 14 years in the top 5.
Right.
You know, won a couple of national championships, but we never got back to that level. Now to see if we can sustain it, you know, I think we were in the top 10 this year recruiting also. So we'll see what
number
happens.
3, actually.
We'll see what happens.
Who's
again.
Number 3?
Florida State.
Florida State number 3, yeah.
Who was number 1?
So Bama was one.
Yeah, Bama.
6 of the last 7 years, and in those 6 of the last 7 years, we got 3 national champions.
Mm-hmm. Who's number 10?
Number 10. It's an SEC school. Just slipped my mind.
Was it South Carolina?
Yes, South Carolina. Okay.
Yep. They slid in there too.
Yeah, they did.
Where did Tennessee fall in?
Tell them about Tennessee. I ain't going to say now.
Yeah, Tennessee got the number 4 recruiting class. But the crazy part about it, they have 0 5 stars. They don't have not one 5 star to sign today. They got like 16 4 stars and like 18 3 stars.
Now that sounds like a team that could win a championship.
Exactly. It does.
Yeah.
It really Because
we're underachievers. Nobody expects us to do anything.
But they signed 37 players.
Yeah.
That's unheard of.
That's just a lot of kids coming to our school. We like that.
You got 16 and 18. That's a lot. But no 5 stars, but you could tell that grade system is tricky because
it can be skewed. Yeah. See, that's what I was thinking, just what you're about to say.
Yep.
So we got a bright future. Look out for Tennessee Vols.
Oh, Tennessee on their way back. I'm not even.
We're coming to the top strong.
Yeah. Even though we beat y'all 8 in a row.
It might be 9 or 10, but we're gonna get in that championship soon.
Very soon.
Very soon.
All right. Speaking of champions, Russell Wilson. I think he's on tour for winning the Super Bowl. Right. Just for the listeners, he was drafted by the Texas Rangers. This past draft, and he has come out to say that he will not be playing for Texas in baseball. So I think his stock has risen, and so would his newly made wallet by the young lady from Seattle that made him a wallet. So he probably need a bigger wallet.
Yeah, he got a bunch of endorsements coming his way right now.
Yeah, we did say God is good, didn't he?
We did.
Yeah,
we
God loved Russell Wilson. Y'all know that, right? I mean, he like us too, but Russell,
He showed me some more love, though.
Yeah.
God, he love.
Well, I knew one endorsement he needs to sign with
S curl.
Some Clippers.
Yeah.
Andy's.
Something. I think Scissors can do him all right.
He look like a Muppet.
He does.
Who look like who?
Russell Wilson.
He got to do something with the hair.
He's pretty handsome dude, eh?
That hair is all over
the
place.
He walked in the press conference and said, sir, can you take your hat off?
Yeah. Hey, but your boy, after you won the Super Bowl, the next night was front row with Jay-Z and Beyonce.
Sure was. Just chatting it up.
That's what's up.
Yeah.
That's what's up.
He was over there with your girl, Slick.
Yeah, it's okay.
It's okay.
Everybody's sitting with my girl. She know where to come home.
You know it. Hey, absolutely. Thinking about talking about baseball, Jameis Winston, the national championship quarterback for the Florida State Seminoles.
Say that. Say that. Go Noles.
Keep going.
He is.
Hey, you ain't gotta say amen. Just say ouch if I step on your toe.
But these folks over here tripping already. Anyway, Mr. Winston will be the closer for the baseball team. He is an outfielder and a pitcher, but he will be a closer on this year's Florida State baseball team. Currently has a 3.0 earned run average. And if they make the College World Series, the TV ratings will go up. Yeah. I mean, I can guarantee you that. And to be honest, what better way would he be the first to win both a national championship in two sports the same year?
Yes, I believe so. In the same year,
yeah. We need to do a little research.
I believe that.
I mean, so matter of fact, back to back. I mean, Frank Thomas. Bo Jackson. Those are the only two that actually played football and baseball.
Prime played, but he didn't win.
Hard. They didn't do nothing. Florida State ain't going to win no national baseball championship.
Oh, okay.
Sounds good, but they not. I mean, some lower teams going to be there for real.
I agree.
They always in the mix.
They get to that Sweet 16 or final Elite 8. But that baseball
tough. But to do it in sports that follow each other, though, I mean.
That's tough.
That's significant.
I think it's the dumbest thing he can possibly do. But I'm saying to be a pitcher, with your arm being that important to you in the sport that you're going, because they already said he's not a pro prospect in baseball. So for him to go out there and risk Tommy John, elbow, shoulder, all this other type stuff that he can happen out there, but I can understand going to play outfield, you know, go play center field, go be a great center fielder, cover a lot of ground, but going out there and risking your arm, I don't think that's very smart.
But that proves my point even on having to come back and play football. His stock could get no higher.
It can't get no higher.
And so the only reason he's having to play college is because he was a freshman. A redshirt freshman. So, I mean, in baseball, think about it, though. He's played baseball, football, basketball his
coming
whole life.
Up, right.
You know, I don't know about basketball.
He's an athlete.
Right. So, I mean, it could be taxing. I agree, depending on how they use him. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure my boy, the head coach, got something to say.
Jimbo.
He got him on pitch count.
Yeah, he got that pitch count.
So. Yeah, one inning.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah, 19 pitches.
Exactly.
Per inning.
Mariano Rivera.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to monitor that.
D-Will Hancock, earlier in the earlier episodes, we talked about Jason Kidd possibly not even making it through the All-Star break. He was coach of the month in January.
Yeah. Oh, my preseason coach of the year?
You called it. But yeah. It's in the East that'll help you.
Yeah. It ain't too hard.
Yeah. Him playing, you know, where the Nets play is better. But, I mean, as a group, you got to give them, you know, tip your hat to them. They play well.
They have settled in.
Yeah,
and
right the ship a little bit.
So how does Lawrence Frank feel right now? Mm. He still got paid.
Expendable.
Still got,
do you think
they'll
keep bringing D. Will off the bench?
They're
going to
so.
Transition him back into that starting role. They're going to have to because he's a franchise player. You know,
I understand.
I think he has to play better.
But the thing about it is, you when you start messing with chemistry, and that was one thing when you weren't here for the Miami Heat and the Pacers. I mean,
LeBron and
right.
the Oklahoma City game.
Yeah,
when they bring D-Wade back in to start, he kind of throws the rhythm off a little bit because their whole lineup is disjointed. And by that, I'm saying the same thing with the New Jersey, Brooklyn. It kind of throws you off when everybody has set minutes that they know they're going to play. You know your rotations. And then you keep staggering them, going back and forth. It throws them out of rhythm.
True, but that's kind of it's kind of the syndrome of like the Chicago Bears had this year. Do they bring back Jay Cutler? You know, that's, if that's your franchise player, you play your franchise player.
Yeah, regardless, didn't work out well.
Well, I'm saying they won the next game.
Yeah, I mean, but
they weren't going no further than that anyway.
They were playing with a rhythm. The one thing about Cutler, he was looking only for the other boy.
Marshall.
Brandon Marshall. The other guy spread it around and was looking for what's the boy's name?
Jeffries.
Damn, Alshon Jeffries. I got Alzheimer's.
Alshon Jeffries. And the tight end. Yeah. The tight end actually
spread the ball around. But what I'm saying is you develop a chemistry. You know certain times you're going to be going into the game when we were going back to basketball.
Yeah.
And when you keep tinkering with that lineup in and out, it kind of throws everything off. And you'll see it. See, just no continuity there.
Real quick, Bynum signs with the Pacers, and we're going to talk about that later on in the show. And another quick note, Atlanta Braves, Freddie Freeman, signs an 8-year deal worth $135 million. Wow.
First $100 million Atlanta Braves, man.
Yes.
Somewhere in Atlanta, David just rolling over in his grave.
Answer this question for me. Yeah. How does he make $120 million more than Jason Hayward?
Jason Hayward hadn't
funny
proved.
Funny that you mentioned that.
Jason Hayward hadn't proved that he can be consistent.
Well, right. And they see a lot of future in Freddie.
Right. And the franchise has turned because coming out, Jason was the next.
He was the
Jay Hay kid. He was the new it boy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And when they said that about him, I remember talking to some guys at work, and I said, that's too much pressure on that kid. You know, I don't know if he's going to be able to live up to the hype that they had. They had him coming in to take the mantle from
Chipper Jones.
Right.
And a lot of times, you just can't hand that to somebody. Yeah. You have to come in and let them establish themselves.
He had a heck of a rookie season.
He did. Don't get me wrong, he did. But to keep living up to that.
The last two seasons were awful.
And he was young, though.
Awful. But to your point, Jason Hayward and Freddie Freeman came together.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It was Jason supposed to be the man, and Freddie was the second coming, or he was the Robin to the Batman.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Robin ended up getting paid.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So let's take it years back. I'm a Braves fan. Jeff Francoeur.
Loved him.
Yep. And McCann was the Robin.
Yeah. Exactly.
Who got the money first?
McCann. Yeah.
So it looks like when there's two people to come up.
It's expectations. That's what I mean. Hey, expectations.
There it is right there. Yeah, they put too much pressure on those two top. Man. Yeah.
But $135 million, he can come here anytime and treat us.
Yeah. And that's when you have a good recruiting class like Alabama, expectations.
They there.
And the Robin wins the championship.
Nah, Robin don't always win.
You're sure?
Because Batman won 2 in a row for this year.
Okay.
3 out of 4.
Let's keep it real. It's time to talk about the Super Bowl, right?
There you go. All right, so Super Bowl time. That's it for news and notes. All right, Sports Roundtable. All right, we got Super Bowl's opinions, and we're going to go around the room to see and talk about their opinions about the Super Bowl. And, of course, we're going to lead off with the Super Bowl champion.
Hey, can I get some music? Is some dog clapping or something like that?
What you want?
Give me something to talk about this debacle. Is that the right word, D?
That's a good word.
That's a good word. Debacle. Score was 43-8, right?
Mm-hmm.
When I saw the ball go over that man's head the first play, I knew it was going to be a long night. Tiffany?
Actually, you know, okay, let me go back to the last week's show, was it, or the week before that, where I said that I would cry if Peyton lost?
Yes.
Okay, well, let me just feed off of what you said. I actually saw it was going to be a long game before it started, because I was actually looking at, like, when the players, before the game, like, when they were warming up and everything, I was actually looking at all the players in their faces and everything, right. And I actually saw, like, that fight and hunger and intensity look in the Seattle Seahawks' face that I did not see in the Denver Broncos' face.
Right.
They just had this, everybody on their team had this hungry look about them, like they just couldn't wait to go out there and rip somebody's head off. And Denver, nobody on Denver had that look in their eye, like, I'm ready to go out here and win. So as soon as I saw that before the game even started, I said, you know what? when you have that fight and that will to win, your play already goes to another level. So right. I was like, it's going to be a long game. Or I was like, first it's going to be a long first half. Right. And they probably going to have to weather a storm and then come back.
Were you drinking that night?
I had a bottle of Remy with me.
You did?
I sure did.
Was your phone working?
Yes, it was.
When you noticed that, you should have texted me and said, Slick, the bet is off.
Well, no, because I would never go back on a bet like that.
Well, you family, Tip.
That's true. But I mean, I could have, but I wasn't going to do that. I thought about it, actually.
I think y'all need to give me some hand claps picking Seattle since August 2nd.
Congratulations on choosing them.
How about a congratulations?
Congratulations would be fine. That'd be great.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Good job.
We want to, well, you picked them second week of the second episode, actually.
Okay. Appreciate
that. And there's 24 episodes today. So the second episode, so 22 weeks has gone by. And now you are a crowned champion.
I appreciate that.
Anything
good.
Anything else you want to talk about?
Yeah, I'm going to let Steve and D-Talker, they sports guys, I'm predicting right now, Seattle repeat.
And you know what? I can actually kind of agree with you on that because they're bringing back basically all the same guys. Like, they're probably only going to lose maybe one or two players off their team because the majority of their team, they're still in rookie contracts. And so all those guys will be back, and they definitely have a chance to repeat because their defense is a beast. I mean, they really are. Nobody's under 6 feet.
All right, Shane Hancock, go ahead.
The first thing I noticed about that game, not the snap over the head, not the miss bringing that first punt out, I mean, kickoff out of the end zone, which was a bad move. What I noticed was when Demaryius Thomas caught that end route and that safety,
boom,
hit him. That pretty much, to me, set the tone.
And he separated his shoulder.
He hit him right then.
Yeah, he separated his shoulder.
And from then on, no Seattle player caught the ball and turned up field. Did you notice? When they caught the ball, they danced.
Denver player.
Denver player.
Okay.
They danced. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't turn up.
They even ran backwards.
Right. You could see it. And from then on, I think that, to me, that hit, it was over.
Yeah, they separated Demaryius Thomas' shoulder during that. And they all got scared.
You could see the fight go out of them. Mm-hmm. And the other thing was him not – the sheriff not being able to go through his checks. I didn't account for that crowd noise.
Yeah, they even said
he couldn't do it.
They said they didn't prepare at all for the crowd.
So it wasn't no Omaha. No,
well, you know, in Denver, everybody be quiet.
Okay.
And so they thought that it was going to be a regular Super Bowl where just like a bunch of business people buy the tickets.
It wasn't that
they
way.
Didn't prepare that the 12th man bought the majority of the tickets. Yeah. So they never practiced for the crowd noise like every other team that goes to play Seattle. They practiced with crowd noise. Yeah. Denver did no kind of noise practice at all.
You
so they really messed themselves up.
And there wasn't no open receivers.
Hey Steve, Dallas Cowboy was the last team that went back-to-back, right? Did they do it like in 92, 93?
Patriots did it.
03, 04? Yeah. 03, 04, Patriots did it, and then Dallas, right?
Dallas won.
Dallas before that.
Okay, so Seattle got a chance.
They do have a chance.
Okay. All right, D.
Yeah, I agree with what Hancock said. Like, Peyton Manning had nobody to throw the ball to. And you saw it. You saw it in his face. That third series of the game, me and Tiff talked about this the other day. He was closing his eyes to throw the football. Like, you saw him when he was in the pocket and they were doing that super slow-mo inside the helmet. He was releasing the ball and his eyes were closed.
Yeah. Didn't he look like an old player?
I ain't going to say he looked old.
I mean, I'm talking about, he looked like an old beaten fighter.
He looked like the old Peyton Manning from Tennessee that had those jittery feet in the pocket.
Yeah, he was dancing. That's so much. Like, I'm like, who is this dude? I did not recognize that player on the field. I did not recognize him.
He only got hit four times. So it wasn't like they were really getting to him, but it's like that pocket was like a closing door.
Collapsing
in the
on
him.
He was not comfortable.
At all.
But that's what Seahawks said that.
They got pressure with four.
And then if you're getting pressure with four and you're dropping seven, there's nobody to throw to. I don't care who you are. You're not hitting open. Yeah. And you saw it. He hit his little check downs just like they do the bubble screens, the crossing routes, the rub routes.
And they hit him.
And they were getting lit up.
But yet he broke the record for the most passes completed in the Super Bowl.
The
who does that and gets their butt kicked?
What's the safety's name?
What?
For Seattle. The big
Chancellor?
Guy. Yeah, that's him.
Cam Chancellor brings that thunder.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, that hit. To me, I think he went back to sideline and said, boy, don't go across the middle.
You saw Wes Welker. Wes Welker was afraid.
Boy,
They all were. They were afraid. Hey,
did y'all see the scene when they put the camera on Manning in the press box?
I left by that time. I left the party.
They showed him up and looking at his brother. He said, "Oh my God, why is my brother getting this?"
They had a caption over his head said, "Better him than me."
Yeah. He was shaking his head. He knew he was getting hit. They was in for a long afternoon.
Well, I know it's my turn, but I'm going to just throw this out because, to me, Seattle just look, they just play so physical. It's like they have on turbo. You remember we used to play football on Nintendo and all that. You know how we used to try to get real good hits and all that. Mm-hmm. They look like they hitting the B button.
It
looks like they are actually hitting the B button. Yeah. Now, this is from what I read over the last couple of days. Sherman talking about they figured out the hand signals for Peyton Manning in the routes that the receiver's supposed to run and things of that nature. So, I mean, I don't see how he can be lying because it looked like
they was cheating.
It looked like they had 15 people on the field to 11.
Hey, quick note before you switch. Did y'all know, this is a did you know fact, Pete Carroll drinks 16 Mountain Dews a day. That's where Seattle get their energy from.
Somebody said they give them PEDs. I'm not going to say who.
But can you imagine drinking 16 Mountain Dews a day?
Hey, Mountain Dew has an ingredient inside of it called Yellow 5. Do you know what Yellow 5 does?
I have no idea.
Anybody know what Yellow 5 does?
School us, baby. SRT show.
It shrinks your testicles.
Well, he run up and down that field.
He don't have nothing then.
No joke.
He runs up and down that field like he on crack, for real.
Well, then his testicles must look like raisins.
Yeah.
But he in his late 60s, right, Steve? He about 66, 67. Yeah. So
don't think he's 62.
Yeah, he's 62.
Oh, he's 62. But I ain't never seen a coach more energized than him. Yeah. 16 Mountain Dews a day.
Yeah. Wow.
Dude, Yellow 5.
Wow.
Yeah, that's crazy. All right, best defense. 85 Bears, 2000 Ravens, 2014 Seahawks.
You start with me?
Yeah.
I had to give it to the Bears. I think the Bears' defense was so crazy. They front four was the ugliest, the mean. Even going back to the Steelers, those were some crazy dudes. I just think what make Seattle defense so good, they do get the pressure from the front four, but they cones and safeties, they hit you like Tatum. And what's the other boy got paralyzed? Them boys, Steve back there, they can hit, man.
I think because Chicago, and they didn't even allow you. They didn't even allow 20 points that whole season, did they?
Yeah, that meant.
I think Baltimore broke the record.
It was Baltimore.
Yeah, Baltimore broke the record. I was going to say
the Bears.
The Bears in 85.
All right, who you got, Tiffany?
I'm from Chicago. I'm rocking with the Bears, too. Come on now, all day.
All right, Wilbert Marshall and Lawrence Taylor.
That was a squad, man.
Yeah, I know.
I think I got. To me, it's so close between the Bears and Baltimore. I really can't take a winner because I mean they were so similar.
It was a mirror image almost. Yeah,
and the Bears.
Who did the Bears play in the Super Bowl? The Patriots. Bears,
no, it beat the Patriots.
They beat the Patriots. They pounded them.
When the Bears and the Ravens stepped on the field, you could see fear in other teams.
Who did the Ravens beat in the Super Bowl?
Ravens beat the Giants.
They beat the Giants. What was the score?
34-7.
Oh, that's a pounding too.
They killed them. Ray, they won with Trent Dilfer as their quarterback.
Right.
Right.
They told him, "Give me 6-9 points and don't turn the ball over, and we're going to win." So they didn't allow people to score. You couldn't move the ball.
Right.
Yeah.
At least in Chicago, you had a semblance of offense.
Right. I see what Steve talking about, but I just think the edge for Seattle is the big corners and the big safeties and physical.
Yeah,
where Barrows and Baltimore had their men down. Yeah. The front four and the linebacker was vicious.
Yeah.
I think it's unfair for the Seahawks because it's a passing league, we're prisoners of the moment,
mm-hmm. right?
You know, so we're in the now, and you always gonna think, man, well, that them back then they had to be better because you know, but go back and look who did the 85 Bears and the 2000 Ravens beat at quarterback that year. It sure wasn't Peyton Manning,
Stanley Grogan, and
they beat Grogan,
Tippett,
Steve Grogan.
I'm looking at the whole year, though, not just the Super Bowl. I'm looking at a whole season, not just the Super Bowl.
A whole body of work.
Looking at the whole thing.
I mean, do you remember now, they played against some passing quarterbacks back in the day. You had some quality quarterbacks back in the league.
So, we talking about the full season.
Right.
It's a body of work, not just one Super Bowl.
Right, the full season.
They put quarterbacks out all year. They were hitting people.
Yeah, they were.
You're right about Wilbur Marshall. And
they had squashed.
But you got to also think about it. Look at those names y'all are saying. Bears and 2000 Ravens got Hall of Famers on them.
But Seattle going to have some Hall of Famers.
Exactly. That's why I say give them time.
Yeah, they will.
We're going to look back at this.
Stay together.
Yeah. But we're just talking about this one season.
Right.
Oh, they had a squash.
When we look back in the future 10 years from now, I'm telling you, we're going to look at this Seahawks defense and be like,
Seattle didn't lose but two games or three. How many games did they lose? Two or three?
They lost to
Arizona, San Francisco, and then somebody else went in there and beat them. Or they lost on the road.
Did they lose the Rams? The Rams played them tight, didn't
they? Yeah,
they played them tight.
So Arizona, I know they lost three games, though. And it was somebody else beat them.
I can't
remember. Was it the Vikings? Mm-hmm. Somebody beat them.
Somebody pull it up. But you finished D?
Yeah. Okay, I picked mine.
So my thing is this, and I'm going to go with the best defense as the 2000 Ravens because, to me, that was just impressive. They what's the dude in the middle? The big boy in the Sarah Goose?
Yeah, Tony.
they had everything you needed on defense. But I will say this, and this is, this is not the prisoner of the moment. This is the reality of the moment. The most impressive defense in one game had to be Seattle.
That's what I was saying.
Because
in a big game,
listen, the number one offense ever in the history
ever
of the NFL.
You holding them to 8 points. That's impressive.
Yeah,
we're talking about one game. Yeah,
that's impressive. Sure. So the body of work. I'm going with the Ravens, but that one impressive game. Boy,
they lost to the Colts.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. Yeah, I looked it up.
Okay. Slick, what does this do for Peyton Manning's legacy?
I don't think it do anything.
That was so nice of you.
Well, the guy has been so much to the game. I mean, it's a family tree. I think he can lose for the next 50 years and people still going to love him. Great sportsmanship. Team player. He just ran across a buzzsaw.
Yeah.
You know when they say a fly be on the wall, Steve, do you get a fly squatter, Steve?
No, sir.
Shoot it down.
Shoot the whole water down.
Shoot the whole water.
And that's what Seattle did. But I think this did not hurt him. I just think it was he just ran across some dudes that wanted it better than he did. Yeah. His team didn't show up. They just that simple. The guy's a legend, will always be. Tennessee boy. You know, I'm a Peyton guy, seriously. I do like him.
Right.
I just thought Seattle was the team this year. I really did.
All right. What's he got, Tip?
That's my dude. So his legacy is totally fine. I mean, the team as a whole did not show up. They did not prepare like they should have for that Super Bowl. They prepared for it like it was just another regular Sunday game instead of the big game, and that was their mistake. So I think his legacy is intact, is just fine, and he's good.
All right, Hancock.
To whom much is given, much is required. So with all the reverence and all the accolades and everything that's been bestowed upon him, boy, I'm using words, aren't I?
There you go.
You sound like a preacher in the pulpit.
Yes, sir.
He hadn't come through in the big moments, and it's not all his fault. But what happens is when you are the face of the organization or you're the face of that team, you're going to be blamed or given that title. And what happens is even in the games he's played well in the past or he may have lost in the playoffs, the defense didn't live up to it.
Right.
In this particular game, he wasn't able to come through because of, it was stacked against him. That defense was on fire.
Yeah.
It's always going to be, what have you done lately? What was your record in the end? When you compare him, Montana.
Marino
gets in, see, they're almost in the same boat. But Marino only made it to one Super Bowl and didn't win anything.
Right.
But he's still, giving his title one of the best passes because he passed for so many yards and, he was in that era where it was just boom and the NFL was just booming at that time, and he was one of the faces. To get back to your point, he's going to always be saddled with that he couldn't win
the big game.
Oh, yeah, that's going to follow him for the rest of his life. The best regular season quarterback can't do nothing in the playoffs.
Exactly, whether it's fair or not. One good thing he does have, he can always hold up at least one. If he'd never won a ring, it would have been worse.
If he never won a ring, I would say that he doesn't really have that big of a legacy.
Yeah. Right. Now the thing is, if he was in New England, he'd have four. May have had more.
I think he would have for sure.
Or Seattle this year.
Yeah, exactly. Put him with Seattle team. Are you kidding me?
But see, that's the same thing we had talked about.
Could Russell Wilson have won with Denver?
No way.
Not a chance.
No. See what I'm saying?
Yeah, not a chance.
Right, and that's a good point. Yeah. Because the thing is, everybody loves to talk about, okay, his legacy. Well, you can't have a legacy while you're still playing. I'm sorry.
That's true.
While you're still actually active, there's no way you can possibly, because you're still writing your legacy.
Right.
You still have time to change whatever perception people have of you. You have a chance to change that.
Right.
But with that being said, everybody likes to talk about his playoff record with him being 11-12, having the most playoff losses ever. He's also played the most playoff games ever.
I was just about to
you
say.
You got to get there.
Yeah, you have
and
to get
we,
there.
And me and Hancock go back and forth all the time about this. I say, get me there. If I lose, I'm cool. He's like,
I don't want to go.
Exactly. Exactly.
He don't want to go.
We've been there.
Lose.
Right. But my thing is, to win it, you got to get there.
Yeah.
And he's put his team in a position to win it more than anybody in NFL history. That there alone, with his accomplishments, with his stats, with his numbers, it puts him up there. His legacy is fine. If anybody is questioning his legacy, it is somebody who's either, one, never played the game, two, doesn't understand the game, or three, is just throwing shade.
It's good, like I said, that he won one, though, D, because if he would have never won one, it would have been a bad situation.
He would have been Dan Marino, because Dan Marino is still considered the best passer of the football in NFL history, but he's not considered the best quarterback because he doesn't have that ring.
Exactly.
Right. And this goes back to what we always talked about, the Braves.
Right.
Braves always won.
Yeah.
But when you look at, would you rather be in their situation, or would you be in the Marlins situation, or Toronto?
Right,
they won championships.
But see, I think the question is skewed because you already know the Marlins won. You see what I'm saying? You know they won, so you can't say, well, they already got two. Would you rather go? We don't know. Going, you don't know if you're going to win, because if you don't ever get there, like D said.
That's what I'm saying. But my point, but back to his question, would you rather go all the time, be in contention, is what I'm saying.
I would rather
or
go.
Would you,
yeah, me too.
Would you say,
I'd rather go.
Out of these 10 years, yeah, we suck, but we got two championships.
But see, that's
we
what
got
I'm
two
saying.
Parades.
But see, that's what
I'd
I'm
rather
saying.
Win rings.
That's what I'm saying.
But see, that's how the question is skewed, because if you go two times, you already saying that you've already won two. But if you saying if I rather go 10 times, that don't mean I lost.
Let me put this in context for y'all. Let me put this in context. Would you rather be Eli Manning or Peyton Manning? Simple as that. Eli's been there twice and he got two rings. Peyton has all the accomplishments, been there 1,000 times, but only has one ring. So who would you rather be? Would you rather be Peyton Manning, considered the best of all time?
And he's going to the Hall of Fame.
And your brother who has two is not going.
I guess I'm being contrarian then, because I'm taking the two rings.
I'm taking the two rings too.
That's hard. Basically what y'all saying is attaboys.
But what I'm saying,
when we go to the family reunion, I can sit ahead of the tape.
You can say what
you want about how you did or whatever. I can always say,
I sit on the side of the table with my gold jacket on.
Yeah, you can.
With my ring. Yeah. So I'm still in the same boat.
But that jacket don't shine.
I got a ring.
Them little kids going to come over and say, you got two.
Go ahead, Snake.
The only thing I think is in Peyton Manning's favor. He had a great college career. He had a great NFL career. Penciled in as a Hall of Fame sure first ballot. And all them other dudes ain't going to say that. They got some rings, but they going to wait. Or Peyton is just – dude is good, man. And his brother ain't that good to me as him. I really don't think his brother's good as him.
If he wins another ring, is he going to get in the Hall of Fame?
Oh, absolutely. I think his brother going to get a ring with two. I think he's in.
See, I think he's going to get in, too.
I think he is,
think
but he, what I'm saying –
I think Eli's getting in?
I don't think so. Oh, yes, so he's in. I got a 200 in my pocket right now.
When he gets through with all the yardage and everything he's going to have, and the two championships that he contributed to.
Superhero. Don't try to explain it. He is in, Steve.
Well, that's cool.
He in because he a Manning.
I was just about to say that. His last name is Manning.
Absolutely.
He plays in the biggest market.
Yeah.
He in, dog.
The daddy not in.
But my thing is.
Dad is not in.
But no, they, dad is not
but,
in.
But you know, they the closest thing to royalty.
Exactly.
Oh, absolutely.
And he will always be royalty, but he will not get in the Hall of Fame.
But you know what?
Derek, stop it.
Let's go back. Hold on. Listen. Let's go back to when Derek asked the question about Peyton Manning.
Okay.
Right? I think Derek is trying to get a job.
Where?
As a marketing agent for Peyton Manning.
For Peyton Manning.
Did y'all not hear what he
Horace, Derek didn't get a job. Derek didn't get a job with Bama, and they won 3 national championships. How he going to go to Denver?
First of all, he said, well, you hadn't had a legacy yet because you're still playing.
He's still writing his legacy.
He's a pretty intelligent guy. I am getting around Derek is, but I'm telling you, the Manning boys is in the Hall of Fame.
He just proved that the degree his wife got, he just blew it out the water.
Oh, yeah. Hey, say that again. I wanted to hear that.
But the next time you make a stupid statement like that, your wife get to sit in instead of you. Hey. Because the Manning boys both already in the Hall of Fame. Derek, I'm willing to bet $100, $200. They going, both of them going quick. Going
hey, listen. Really he has some work.
Steve, is there any two brothers in the Hall of Fame?
That's good research. Not that I can think of offhand.
I don't recall because they going to be the first. I'm telling you.
I agree.
I'm telling you, Derek, they going in, brother.
He got a lot of work to do, man. He done led the league in interceptions so many times. It don't matter.
So is Brett Favre.
But he don't have Brett Favre numbers. What's the Hall of Fame about?
Tell him again, Steve.
Hall of Fame about what? Tell the truth. Hall of Fame is about what?
About their work.
It's about numbers.
About our work, yeah.
Yes, it's about your numbers.
On certain people because Gale Sayers, they had a short period. They let him in.
But he had a short period, but he was dominant.
Hey, Steve, I know Howard's got to move on, but look at Steve. Can we pull the color card out?
Yeah, that's true, too.
Okay. They getting in. Their daddy nice. The mama good looking. They got good kids.
Eli will probably get in because his father did not get in, too.
Absolutely. That's what I'm saying. They going to get in.
Oh, come on now.
They
may let Coop in.
Right? That's his brother.
They the closest thing to the Kennedys, man.
Yeah, I'm telling you. You're right.
They got
the best
commercials. How can you not let them dudes in?
I'm telling you, man. And you just said it. The script is not all the way written on Eli. He still got time. Yeah. And if he gets back and wins another Super Bowl.
Now if Eli gets a third Super
Bowl.
Steve,
I don't think he had to get a third one.
Oh, it's set in stone. I think he's in.
I think he's in, too. I don't think he had to win.
Because the farther you get away from it. Because he doesn't have to buy a meal in New York at all.
Rest his life.
This is a sports writer.
Answer this
for me.
How many years y'all think Eli got left in the league? Like
I say about six.
Years.
About six.
5 to 6 good years.
Five to six good years.
So he has a lot of time to either do one or two things.
What's that?
Go up
or go down.
Well, you know, that's immediate. Look, that's a big-time franchise.
They will turn on you if he's leading the league in interceptions, but he will throw it away.
Derek,
when they go back to running the football again, it's going to make him that much
better. They got no help this year.
Derek, we on the 300 floor, right? Mm-hmm. And Jesus is on 301.
Yes.
God and them love the Peyton family. Trust me when I tell you that, dog. That's a blessed family.
Yeah, they are.
All right,
and there are 13 siblings that are in the Hall of Fame that play the same sport. Yeah. 13.
Wow.
But I'm talking about they were successful at their positions.
If they in the Hall of Fame, do you make the Hall of Fame if you're not successful?
But I'm talking about putting people in the Hall of Fame when they 30s and 40s.
Most of them in baseball, though. Probably so.
We're talking about Football Hall of Fame.
Can Tiffany do her segment?
Yeah, let her do her segment. Go ahead, Tiffany. We can get back with that.
Tiffany's getting her bad beers on. She was doing the research.
Exactly. I was on my thing, yeah.
All right, I think we done had enough of the Mannings.
Yeah, that's cool.
I never get enough of the Mannings.
What up, Cooper?
We'll talk about them later on. But
that's a good debate.
Exactly. So we're going to move on to the word on the street with Miss Tiffany, the jewel of sports. What's up, Miss Tiffany?
Hey, y'all, just to know it, Tiffany is wearing Seattle green today.
He a lie and a half.
A lie and a half?
Don't believe him. A lie and a half.
Really?
Yes, sir.
Word in the Street is not sponsored by Tiffany. What's that?
Look, I'm about to knuck on you.
There you go, Tiffany. Go ahead and rock it.
Welcome to the Word on the Street with the Jewel of Sports. All right, you know we got to jump into these ice cold facts. And since we just came off the Super Bowl, I had to find a Super Bowl ice cold fact. So, Super Bowl 48, set a Las Vegas record for the most money wagered. $119 million was wagered in Vegas for the Super Bowl. And since a lot of people picked Denver, Vegas actually made $19.7 million. I got a second ice cold fact for you. We're coming up on the Winter Olympic Games in Sochi. They actually start this weekend. They start February 6th and run through the 23rd. And Sochi is actually in Russia, for those of you that didn't know.
I don't care where it is. They're blowing stuff up, but I'm not.
Yeah, it's a lot going on out there. But they actually set the record for the most expensive Olympics ever by spending more than $50 billion to set up and create everything. And another ice cold fact about the Sochi Olympics is actually Sochi is actually a sunshine destination that doesn't get snow. So it's odd that they picked to have Winter Olympics there when it doesn't snow. But for the indoor sports, they're actually bringing snow from they store snow from last winter. I didn't know you could store snow, but they store snow from they got it out of the mountains from last winter. They're using 500 snow guns and 710,000 cubic meters of snow. And they stored all that, and they're going to be blowing around indoors to create all the indoor tracks and everything for the Winter Olympic Games. Also, the outdoor Olympic Games, they actually have to travel 15 miles up into some mountains to actually get to snow. So, yeah, go figure. And my last ice cold fact for you about the Sochi Games, NBC is covering those games with more than 1,539 hours worth of coverage. So, yeah, go figure. You're going to have a lot of Olympic Games to watch if you're into that. All right, let me jump into some athlete word on the street for you. David Beckham, we all know that he basically retired from soccer, and he just bought an expansion franchise so he could start his own Major League Soccer team in Miami. And he said he doesn't need public funding. Him and his business partners, they're going to spend the money to pay for the stadium and everything.
Got that dope.
Yeah, he said he wants to create basically a sports academy out there.
Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, I thought that was pretty cool. Another athlete word on the street. This is kind of an athlete word on the street / rumor. Tracy McGrady, former NBA player. Back in September 2013, he became part owner of a yet-to-be-named baseball team slated to play in Biloxi in 2015. Now, the rumor is that baseball has actually always been his first love. So he's actually thinking of suiting up and pitching for this Biloxi team. Sources say that he's been in Houston throwing around, and they've been watching him throw over 90 miles an hour. So he may try his hand at baseball, so we'll see. I got one more athlete word on the street for you that's also maybe kind of a rumor. Magic Johnson. He and his business partner, who partially own the Dodgers, they are about to buy the WNBA Los Angeles Sparks. That team has actually been in limbo since Christmas, when the previous owner basically told the organization that when they bought the team from the Buss family a year ago for $1.4 million, since then they have lost $12 million. Like, that's just too much money.
Can Magic buy the Lakers? Because we need to get somebody around the Lakers.
What he wants to do with them, he wants to help them recruit now. Like, he said that when Buss was running things, he said he actually helped Buss recruit. He said he helped bring Lamar Odom in, Ron Artest. And so he actually is trying to get on their recruiting squad to bring in free agents because he thinks he can bring the best talent.
Get a coach.
Yeah. Yeah, that's where you need to start. Get D'Antoni out of there. All right, let me jump into, I got two hot rumors for you. Last week I mentioned that a story about Floyd Mayweather betting $10.4 million on the Broncos, that the Broncos would win. Well, he has since come out and said that he did not place that bet. I don't know if he's telling the truth, because I don't think he would really tell us if he did lose $10.4 million. So who knows if he did or not, but whatever. He has the money to lose, make, whatever. Last hot rumor for you, the New York Knicks coach, Mike Woodson, he may be fired before the trade deadline. The organization is not happy with him at all. The team is currently 19-29, and they are 10th in the Eastern Conference.
They need to move Melo quick.
Yeah, wow. So yeah, he's not, yeah.
Either move him or lose him.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So
I'm sorry, move him to the Grizzlies.
So yeah, that's your word on the street with the Jewel of Sports. We are sponsored by Tiffany & Company, and our slogan is Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend.
All right. Seahawk.
All right, appreciate
Seahawk.
That.
Peyton Manning all day. I still love my boy. I don't care.
That's a Seahawk call. Might be a little sick.
You sound wounded. You okay?
Yeah, wounded Seahawk. Ate too much Broncos.
good one.
And little tidbit about those Sochi games. They've been knowing that the Sochi games were going to come there for 7 years. They've been knowing it was going to be there because, you know, they pick it
two
times out. They've been knowing for 7 years that the games were coming. Do you know they still do not have hotels up?
Right.
They have venues unfinished.
Yep.
They don't have running water in some of the hotel rooms. No plumbing.
This is the Winter Olympics, right?
The Winter Olympics.
I don't understand why they would have it in a place like that to begin
They could have had Winter Olympics in Atlanta last week.
They really could. On 285.
285.
Ice hockey.
Snowboard.
Snowboard. People fighting, boxing.
Hey, don't
car dodging.
Hey,
yeah, skate between the cars.
Who cars sit on the interstate the longest?
Shout out to my mom on that. She was out there for 24 hours.
Tell mama why she didn't call. I could have came and fought for her.
You still fight for her?
Absolutely. Boy, yeah, can't let a sister stay out in the cold that long.
Man, sleeping in the car on the exit ramp. It was terrible.
That's horrible. Wow. The Camp Creek area, right?
Yeah, well, she didn't even make it over there. She was slept on the ramp near 75. We're 75 and 285 meet going to Cumberland Mall.
Really?
She was stuck on 400 for 6 hours.
Wow. Okay. All right, Sleek. It is time
to go into the mind of Slick Money. Open up the gate, Slick.
Let us in.
Take your shoes off.
Yes, sir.
Bring the June bug.
Yeah, don't track no mud into this fresh shag carpet.
Yes, sir. Slick, you did a little remodeling in here.
Absolutely.
I need June bug to walk me in. I'm scared of these other dogs.
Can I get y'all something to drink?
You got some wine?
I got some wine.
Yeah, Is this the winning lottery ticket? This the cash? I see a stack over here.
Oh, absolutely. We got pin of money right here. Powerball.
You going to win because when you win SRT, we going up.
Yes, sir.
Jumbo.
They go Jumbo.
Jumbo, come on, baby. Get me in, Jumbo.
Yeah, like you don't feed these dogs, man. What's up?
Right, hey, Slick, where you get this Beyonce hologram?
he in here drunk in love. He be in here drunk in love.
Coachella?
Yeah, Slick be in here drunk in love with Beyonce.
Did y'all know they passed the law that you can have marijuana in Georgia? Did y'all know that?
Did they really?
I know that it was up for the bill to be passed.
Did they really pass it?
Only in Slick Money's mouth. So if you hear devil, let's fire one up. Tim, get out, because this topic here gonna be hot. Tim, get your stogie out.
All right, light
take
him up.
Take your shoes off. D, you want something to drink?
Nah, I'm good over here.
Okay, y'all looking good.
Appreciate it.
You know,
comfortable.
Harv, you ready to do this?
Yes, sir. You need some music for this?
You can give me some of that stuff. Want to go that route? Or do you want me some stuff like Steve's do, that Barry White stuff, talking over some stuff? Give me some pillow talk music.
Like,
this
let
is
that
here.
Ride.
Do we got that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. It's so good to have you out in the penthouse.
Yeah, it is, baby. Let that breathe. Let that breathe.
That's what it is. Let that breathe.
I got my Richard Sherman poster coming in next week.
And I'm going to scribble all over that mug.
Got that fat head. Really?
As soon as I walk in
got the fat head.
I'm coming here with a magic marker next week.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to scribble all over.
I ain't hit a woman since 1965.
And if you still won't.
And I'm going to tell you something, Tiff. If you write on my Richard Sherman poster, I'm knocking the plate out for your mouth. Seriously.
And I'm going to get my gun out the car, and we going at it.
Okay. let's go to get them dogs a bark, and she tripping. Junebug, come here.
Junebug like me. That's my boo. Junebug like me.
On a serious note, seriously. I was born and raised in Memphis, Tennessee, with 5 siblings, making 6 of us. And this is a very touchy subject, but I want people across the country who listen to the SRT show make comments to Tiffany and Derek about this subject, because this is seriously, okay? I have 2 lovely daughters that I just really, really adore. My youngest daughter asked me one day, she says she heard me tell my oldest daughter that she was my favorite. So, amongst my coworkers, I want to ask you this. Do parents have favorites in their siblings? Now, of course, if you're one child, you always the favorite. You're spoiled rotten. Ask Tiffany about that. She gets everything, y'all. But I just want to ask you guys, starting with Tiffany to my left going around. Like I said, it was my mom would always use us against each other to get stuff that she want. I'm the favorite today. My sister the favorite yesterday. My brother was the favorite the other day. So I just want to ask y'all, then we come back around the table. Tell me what you think about favorites and families or siblings or whatever.
Yeah, well, with me being the only child, yeah, spoiled rotten, even still to this day, I'll admit it. But now I return the favor because I can. So, but as far as me growing up, since I was an only child, I found myself finding and friending people that had big families.
Okay.
So I was always around and going to the house having dinner. So I actually noticed that parents do play favorites, because I noticed just being around in my friend's family environment that I would notice that the mother will give like certain attention to more attention to one than the other, or the father would buy, it would be one of the families had one son and then like four daughters, and but the son was the oldest, and the son, I mean, he says he was the only boy and the oldest, he was loved to death. I mean, he was the athlete, and I mean, they loved him. And but wow. And so I noticed him getting more treatment than the sisters. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What'd you think, Hancock? Because you got kids too, Hancock.
Yeah, I got three boys. I don't know. I've been accused of having a favorite. I don't think so. I love all my boys equally, I feel like. The baby boy, you know, he's more of a mama's boy right now anyway. But as he gets older, you know, he's going to do and want to do more boy things, you know, like play where he's playing, you know, want to play ball and do things. It just kind of goes into my nature because I love sports.
Right.
And with my middle son being, you know, he was always into football, basketball, and baseball playing it, we kind of developed a real closeness like that and kind of a bond. I don't know if that constitutes me being, you know, playing favorites. I've never tried. I've been accused of it.
So accused meaning that the kid said something to you or the wife said something to you?
Yeah, well, my oldest son, he, you know, intimated that he felt like I played favorites with Jalen.
Okay, when he told you that, how did you feel?
I felt bad. Wow. I mean, you know, it's a bad feeling for my son to feel like he's not on the same level with my other son, because I love him equally.
Right.
You know, and, you know, another thing might have been that, you know, my middle boy, we've been in the house together his whole life.
Right.
My oldest didn't grow up, you know, in the house with me. He came back, you know, but that was, you know, due to broken marriage or whatever. The baby boy, he's growing up in the same environment as the middle son. So, you know, when you're the baby, it seems like you're going to always get the treatment, you know. And at the time, my middle son, before my 2-year-old was born, you know, he was always the baby. So I think he got it, you know, from everybody.
Right, right.
So, you know. Okay. That's a tough subject, though, man. I try not to.
All right, Derek, what you think?
Well, it's going to be a little different for me because, like I said, I don't have any kids.
Okay.
So I'm not able to look at it from the standpoint where y'all are able to look at it from. But coming up as the youngest child, I had two older brothers and an older stepbrother by the time my stepmother came in the picture. And I would say I was the favorite because I was the youngest. So
right.
I was the protected one. I really wouldn't say I was the favorite. Like, my mom passed when I was young, so my older brothers and my dad, I think they just tried to shelter me. You know, they tried to put a cover on me and make sure he's taken care of. But from the outside looking in, my brothers have kids. They have multiple kids. And I'm going to just tell you, from me growing up, my middle brother, he was the favorite. He was All-American in basketball. Everybody knew him. He was potential NBA. So my dad played off of that.
Right.
He was a sports guy also. So that gave him big pride and joy to say, that's my son. So, of course, he did more for him than he probably did on the outside than he did for me, like to the perception of the public.
Right.
Like, when we went outside the house, it was Brian. But if anybody came to our household, it's whatever T-Baby won't T-Baby get, you know. So,
but how did that make you feel when he was close to the middle son like that, talking in accolades and talking about how great he was?
It really didn't bother me too much because I was able to witness it. I was old enough to see,
to understand
that,
okay,
hey, he was on another level for me, so I should be proud, you know. So I really didn't hold it against my dad for doing that, because he was just doing what any proud father would do, you know. Not saying he wasn't proud of me, I just wasn't at the level that he was at that time.
Right.
But I think if I would have ever reached that level, he would have did the same for me, you know. But that's just what I believe. And like I said, I watched my brother with his kids, and he got a favorite. Yeah. I know he does, you know. So, and it's all because of, like, back to what Hancock said, it's more of what the parent likes to what he relates to his child with. Doesn't mean he loves him any more or less than the other one. It's just everybody has a personality, and personalities click and clash. And just because it's your child doesn't mean y'all personalities won't clash at some point.
Okay. All right, Horace, come on, give us a shot.
I'm the only child by my mom, but I do have siblings, and I've grown to understand that all of life is how you choose to look at it. And we can say play favorites, but I say that I think you do what's best for the child that needs you the most at the time. You can say favorites. If I love, like Hancock, he loved all of his boys equally. But whoever needs him at that time is where he's going to be.
So that looks like the favorite at that moment.
That looks like the favorite.
Right, I got
you. If you choose to see it that way.
Right.
If you choose to see it that way. Now, as you get older, as Peter get older and he has a son, he'll then understand that I got to do what's best at the time for my son, because I am their support person. So they need me now. He needs me now. Because he needs me the most doesn't make him the favorite. It just makes him my son. He needs me the most at this time in his life. You've already have moved on, so you can take care of yourself. You don't need me as much.
Right.
But I love you all equally at that same time.
Right.
That's how I see it.
Yeah, that was well said, too. So any listener that is a fan of the SRT show, give us your comment about siblings and favorites with your own children, your own brother and sister, or any situation. But on another note, next week, if we good and live and back in the penthouse, I got a topic that's unbelievable, Tiffany.
Really?
And I'm going to put it out there now so people can think about it. Next week, we're going to talk about, are you ready for this, Derek? Get your hand off that ashtray. That's a classic ashtray right there. And put that weed out, too. Deez, don't drop any ashes on the floor, okay? Next week, topic, Hancock, flaws and imperfections. When is a good time to tell your mate about their flaws and imperfection? For next week, what's on Slick Money's mind?
I like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's going
to
be good.
Yeah, yeah. Well, flaws and imperfections. So you got all week to think about your flaws and perfection. And if you meet somebody, do you tell them up front or you tell them later?
I like that.
You like that?
And if you, and you have to throw out there, would you tell them if they ask you to tell, like, say, for instance, I would say, can you tell me what my flaws are? Would you actually tell me the truth?
I won't tell it up front. Right. I'll wait till some months down the road. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's going to be a good
topic. I think the beginning is too early.
Yeah, that's going to be a good topic. Okay. All right, we with that.
Well, thank y'all for coming over. Y'all exit kind of quietly, okay?
I appreciate it.
Don't steal nothing now.
Man,
I'm going to take this olive grill.
Hey, I'm going to take that bag with me.
Don't get pulled over on I-20. Going to Douglasville now.
We appreciate that, Slick.
Appreciate it, Kenfolk. Thanks for coming. See y'all next week.
All right, that's going into the mind of Slick Money.
You've got mail.
And now it's time for the email mailbag, where we're going to go around. We got some questions. I got to get them, though. Hold on one second.
All right, yeah, we won't get no dead air.
There we go. I'm
there
back.
You go. He's back. Right, okay.
So, email bag has been real good. People have really taken a like. I get texts, I get emails, I get questions, and I just write them down. Okay, so we're gonna go ahead and jump off into this. And how about we do it this way, Slick?
Oh yeah, come on, Louisiana.
All right, Slick, you look like you up first.
All right, let's go.
This is from Reva Island.
Reva's Island.
I love Reva's Island.
What's up, my girl?
We got to go back out.
Yes, we do. Hey, Reva. I need some more Reva's Island. You see how excited we just got when you said Reva's Island? You see that? We just got all types of hype.
I miss you, babe. I miss you.
We got to go back over there.
All right, Ms. Reva said she don't know what she's going to do with Slick Money. every week she looks forward to what's in the mind of Slick Money. But she said, how did you get a pass last week and not even answer the question?
What was the question? What was the question? I say so much.
Last week, what did we talk about last week? About the
the woman withholding stuff from
the goody goods.
So she want to know what was my response.
She want to know why everybody else answered but you didn't.
Well, you got to remember, you in my house. So. When you're in my house, I want y'all to answer the question. But I throw it out there for Reeves because she's such a sweetheart, Miss Reeves. Thank you so much. You want our loyal listener. We can't wait till you invite us out again. But this is my take on that, Reba. Now, I'll make it short. No woman at no point should ever withhold anything from her husband unless he done killed somebody. Now, if he done killed something and robbed some banks and stuff like that, you got every right not to give him a dime. But as long as you're in that house and y'all trying, do not, women, listen to me when I tell you this here. A man needs a woman, and when you hold something from him, it pisses him off.
Exactly.
Trust me when I tell you that.
But I think the question she wanted to know was, do women use her goods to punish or to get an advantage? We got the punish part.
Right.
Now, what about the advantage?
Oh, absolutely. How did you think they came up with Tiffany Diamond? What they said, a woman's best friend?
Yeah, diamonds are a girl's best friend.
Men keep that place open.
Yeah, you're right.
Because men constantly make mistakes.
Oh, yeah. We're not buying all the diamonds for ourselves now.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Y'all so, messing up and helping us out.
Right, absolutely. So, men do make mistakes. And that's how, you know, you get rewarded. And a woman should use her goods for the right reasons. That's to produce those babies, right?
There you go.
Absolutely.
You are a mess.
And please your man to the fullest. So all my loyal female listeners, trust Slick Money when I say this here. Give him what he wants. And I promise you, Valentine is a few weeks away. You'll get what you want. That was some free advice. There next time I will be charging y'all.
All right, Miss Tiffany, I got a question for you. This is from Doug. From Douglasville, do you think the Broncos will have a chance to keep No'Shawn Marino?
What up, Doug from Douglasville?
Yeah.
I don't think they'll be able to keep him because he's coming off that career season and he's going to want his money. And Denver's top priority right now in free agent signings is Eric Decker and Rogers Cromartie. That's the main people they are trying to get back right now. And so with them paying them too, I don't see how they're going to have the money to shell out to pay Moreno what he needs. So another team may come in and swoop him up.
All right. Mr. Hancock.
What's up?
This is a good one right here.
Uh-oh.
Woo! This is a good one. This is from Rick from the ATL.
What up, Rick?
Why isn't Michael Jordan as successful as Magic Johnson in the business world?
I don't think he chose to be into the business world the way Magic was. Magic kind of learned from Jerry Buss and took it a different way as to how he wanted to have his life after basketball. He always said, you know, I've seen some documentaries and some things on how he just liked the business side of things, sitting in a big office, you know, having a building overlooking things with a big desk with a cigar. That's what he wanted.
Okay.
Michael Jordan wants to be on the golf course. And he was.
He's right.
He wanted to be on the golf course. Yeah. He wanted to have a good time. You know, even in his management of the basketball team,
he's
not to the point where the other owners are. You know, you don't look at him as the same type of owner. You know, he might put on some sneaks and go down there and hoop with him a little bit.
Right.
You know, and make some wrong picks and evaluations, which he's done countless
over and
times.
Over and over again.
But I just think that with the money he made in endorsements playing ball, you know, the Jordan shoe, he came along at the right time where he was the darling of Nike, the darling of the marketing world in that respect. So the business side, I don't think, excited him the way it does with Magic. I just think that's the thing right there.
With all that money that he makes, I don't understand how I don't know. Maybe I'm just not at that level yet.
Hey, tell him to go to any mall on Saturday morning and see how much of a businessman Michael Jordan is.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's an endorsement businessman.
His,
no doubt
his,
about
his niche, Jordan's niche, he played it to perfection. Like, he has cornered the market in the tennis shoe game.
Exactly.
You know, so to say he's not an as successful businessman, I'm not going to say that. I just think he hasn't made as many business investments. Right. He cornered his niche, and he just and plays his role. Exactly. He's right. Not really interested in having Starbucks and movie theaters and owning multiple teams, you know.
Partnering with Sony.
Exactly. Yeah. That's not his thing. Yeah, he wants to be in the front office, and he wants to sell shoes.
We can put a logo up, and automatically you know that's Jordan.
Bingo.
When, of with course. That's the leg spread.
Right.
Ball.
Yeah.
I don't have to say anything from kids from 1 to 92.
Exactly.
That's true. Those are Jordans.
That's true.
They don't say Nikes. They say Jordans.
Yep.
You know, so, I mean, right. It is what it is. He, you know, his way of doing things was different.
I got you. That's a good answer. So, I hope Rick understands. All right, D-Will. Thomas from Thomasville.
Thomas.
What effect will Will Bynum have in the with the Pacers? Yeah, Andrew Bynum. I say Will Bynum.
Yeah.
Lord have mercy. I got all Thomas. What effect will Andrew Bynum have with the Pacers in their pursuit of a championship?
Well, we had a Doug from Douglasville and a Thomas from Thomasville.
I was just about to say that.
All right, dude.
Like, yeah, that's funny.
But Andrew, in my opinion, Andrew Bynum's effect with the Pacers will be extremely minimal. I really got that as a strategic move by the front office of the Pacers. They playing chess, not checkers. Basically, because that is the you're not taking a hit. You're only paying him $1 million.
Right.
So you're not paying him anything of any significance. And then the only team really that was vying for his services is your arch rival who you need to beat. So what would be the best thing for you to do? Pick him up. And then if he is able to give you anything on the court, it's just a plus. But to answer Thomas's question, I think his effect will be minimal. He has the potential to be big, but with Roy Hibbert and the way they play, unless Andrew Bynum comes out with a totally different mindset, I don't see him being much of a factor.
It just depends on if he wants to try. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to talk. If he wants to try to help get another ring, because what he'll give you that Mahimi can't give you, there's the backup mm-hmm. center, is a little more offense.
Oh, yeah,
and,
exactly.
And that's the thing. And you still have the big body. You got
his
the extra
experience.
6 5, right. You got the extra 6 fouls, mm-hmm. you know. So in short spurts, depending on the series, whatever's happening, he could help.
But like you say, who are they playing, though?
Right.
Miami. They're not going to need Andrew
right.
Bynum against Miami.
Right.
He probably won't even see the floor in that game because of matchups. He won't even be able to play. Because once Roy Hibbert comes out the game, you're not going to come back in with another slow 7-footer. Because that's when you go small, because Miami's going to go small. So you're going to have to match up with them. So that's why I say it's going to be hard.
Yeah, I just wanted to add, because you were talking about him coming with a different mentality. What actually sealed the deal with him getting this deal with Indiana, he had a 3-hour dinner with them. And he basically sat down and convinced them that he's coming in with a changed attitude and that he wants to win another title. And that's basically what sealed the deal with him. So I think the coach, wife cheating, woman stealing, Andrew Bynum, that I don't want to play because I don't have no more heart for basketball, I think that dude is gone.
Maybe.
And yeah, I think him basically being out of work for 2 weeks was a wake-up call. And I think that he will go in here with a different mentality.
And one key, like you said, it's only a meal. They can send him home.
Mm-hmm.
He can't play anywhere else.
Yeah,
send him home, say, you just stay home, but we hear your meal, sit home, and nobody else can help.
Hey, if you dress a lie up in the truth clothing, what is it?
Still a lie.
Bingo.
Boy, we got some SRT folks in here, man. I tell you what. It is.
No.
Time to Blaze, episode 24 is coming to a close. But before we go, I got some shout outs. Lovely Nikki, lovely Nicole, to my Twitter folk, lovely Nicole.
Nikki,
what's up? Shouts out to you. Thanks for supporting the crew. Another shout out to my Emory folks, Boutte, Mr. Timbers, Rasan, Mario, Mr. Jerome Price, Got to give a shout out to all my folks over there, Emory, and all of my loyal listeners. It's been great. Hope you enjoyed another episode. And Miss Reva, give us about 2 weeks. We'll be back out there with that chicken salad. Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. That's what's up, Reva.
All right, D-Will, what you got?
Oh, man, I just want to shout out all my folks in Tuscaloosa, man. I want to shout out the Bama Roll Tide Nation for the great job and recruiting we did today. Number one recruiting class 3 years in a row, bringing them a championship home, baby.
I'm just going to shout out to my boys from what Slick Money put on my mind.
Shout out
to my oldest son, Stephen Diddy Hancock. That's what I call him, Diddy.
There you go.
Yep. And I'm going to shout out to my middle boy, Jalen Dew Hancock.
Jalen!
And Boogie! To my new boy.
Yes, sir.
2 year old.
Boogie!
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 What up, dog? Braylon Patrick Hancock. I love you, boys.
That's what's up. That's what's up.
Slicky done had Hancock get sentimental over here.
Yeah.
Huh?
That's what the slick mind do. Smoking that weed.
He in his feelings right now.
Boogie just got so much love to Steven still gonna be mad.
Right.
Yeah, when you slick my mind, we smoking that weed, drinking that good stuff, that'd make you do it sentimental.
That kush.
Kush, kush.
I got some shout outs. You know, I gotta shout out my self proclaimed number one groupie, Mr. Big D Holland. I got to shout out my boy, Mr. Paul Too Tall Potter. He hit me up today because he freaked out because he lost all his episodes on his phone. So I asked him if he had a Droid, told him to download the Beyond Pod app, add the Sports Roundtable feed, and you will have us at your fingertips. So all you to have a Droid, download that Beyond Pod app and add the SRT show, Sports Roundtable. Look for our logo, the microphone with the headphones on it.
Yes, sir.
I got another shout out to the college homie, C. Michelle Taylor. She calls herself Sports Challenge, but she says she loves this show because it helps the Sports Challenge. We're entertaining and we're informative, and the way we deliver, it helps the people that don't really know about sports, they get on board for sure.
Absolutely.
And I got two more. I want to shout out my homegirl Megan Turner. We got to get our shopping on this weekend so we can go to that Sir Charles show. And I got to shout out my boy Tim Sparks. Appreciate the love and thank y'all for listening.
Alright, I want to give a shout out. Is it on me? I want to give a shout out to all those Seahawks fans. y'all are worthy for all the...
What's up, Donna?
Yeah, accolades and all that stuff like that. I want to thank Donna in Seattle and Lisa in Seattle and Seahawk Nation for representing.
And all your fans on the Facebook page that love you so much.
Yeah, I'm going to join Facebook page next week.
Yeah, we're going to get them on there because we know y'all love them.
Yeah, thanks for all the love, seriously. God is good. And I'm so glad to have Derry back on the show. Uh-huh. You know, he missed whenever he want to.
Oh, come but,
not no more. We shutting that down.
But I'm glad to have you back, D. Seriously.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Thanks, everybody. God is good. And
yes, sir. All
go
time.
Seahawk. I made so much money this week. It was ridiculous.
And he giving me some money, y'all.
Yeah.
Just because.
I also want to shout out my brother, man. My stepbrother I ain't heard from in a while, man. Mr. Dexter Benton. He said he'd go come on the show, man, and just chop it up with us. He told me to tell you what's up, Slick.
What's up, folks?
So he say he want to get one of them CDs from you, too.
I can get it to him, too, boy.
So,
hey,
yeah.
New CD out. Beyonce. I mean, not Beyonce.
Babyface.
Babyface.
Tony Braxton.
Tony Braxton. Classic.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Go out and get that. Love, Marriage, and Divorce is the name of the disc. Go get that.
Yes, sir. Go get it.
It's hot. That's hot.
All right, man. It's time to do it, baby.
Boogie. I'm headed home, baby.
Jalen and Steven.
The Jewel of Sports is out. Peyton Manning, I still love you, baby.
Seahawk fan Lisa Donna out of Seattle, I love you guys. See y'all next week. Be careful. Peace.
You already know.
Bama.
Yes, sir. And to my girl looking down on my BC, thanks for all you've done. It's been great. Episode 25 next week. Know you'll be proud of your boy because we're doing big things. Thanks a lot. So from myself, HM3, Big Ho from Bankhead, Slick Money, the Jewel of Sports, D-Will, Mr. Hancock.
You folks.
This is the SRT. Episode 24 is in the books. I'll let you next week.
See ya.
Peace. Peace. God is good.